Bibles tonight. You'll think me and Brother Eric kind of had things worked out to this morning. He went to this portion of scripture as well, where I'm going to preach from today. And when he went there, I thought he's going to preach my sermon tonight. But open your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. We're going to preach about the faithfulness of God. God being faithful. You know, the Bible tells us that in Proverbs 20, verse 6, he asks us a question. Who can find a faithful man? And you know, the Lord wants us to be faithful. He said those that are faithful in the least will be faithful in much. Someone told me a long time ago, when you want to find someone to do something in the church, find someone who's faithful. Find someone that fulfills their commitments. And even though a lot of times they'll have a lot of responsibilities on their shoulders, you can always count on those people. The Bible says that you know, a steward that should be required to be found faithful, and we should be faithful in the things. Faith is what separates us apart from everybody else. Faith is what pleases God in what we do. As a matter of fact, I thought not only does faith make us different, it makes us His people. It also changes our priorities, or it should. It also should make us foreigners of this world. We shouldn't feel at home anymore.
And again, we please God by
believing what God has said when we can't see it. That's the definition of faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Not only that, but we should obey when we don't understand what He means, what He's doing. We still need to obey Him. Not only that, when He asks us to give, and give something, whether it's tithes and offerings, whether it's give a meal, give a hand, help out, we ought to give it without expecting anything back. And we ought to give it sometimes even if we don't have it. I remember times in our life when a missionary or someone passed through and God would just lay it upon our heart. They'd have a need and God would lay that need upon our heart and we'd just give what we could. We gave all we had. Several times, Chris will tell you, there's times I tell her, I said, whatever we got in a checkbook, write it and give it and put it in an offering plate. Even when we had other purposes, other needs. It's continuing on and pushing on even when you don't feel like it. Faith makes you do that. Faith also helps us to be thankful even before we receive it. And it also helps us trust it in God even when we don't get what we think we need. There's a lot of things the Bible talks about us being faithful. And that God reminds us in Psalms that His eyes shall be on the faithful. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we're reminded that if we're faithful until the end, we'll receive a crown. Nothing greater than preaching a funeral of someone who's been faithful. It takes a lot of the sorrow and grief away when they've been faithful. Amen. Someone asked me, while back when I preached my mom's funeral, they said, how can you preach your mom's funeral? I said, it's easy. She's been faithful until the end. I said, when they're faithful to the end, there's a crown waiting for them. And you're not envious of those things. But tonight we don't want to talk about our faithfulness. even though we need to weigh it out, we need to look at our own faithfulness. I'm glad that even when we are not faithful, God is faithful. And so we want to look at faithful. And I look at the definition. It said to be loyal, constant, steadfast, unswerving adherence to a person, a thing, or an oath and promise by which a tie has been contacted. Look in your Bibles a moment in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and please keep them handy. We're going to go to a few places. It says in verse number 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? Know therefore, and this is a phrase I want you to remember, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Now, in Deuteronomy, Moses is writing a series of sermons, or preaching a series of sermons to those that have been born during the 40 years that they went round and round and round. Now, it's the last few days of Moses' life, and he's going to die. And he's not going to go over in the promised land with them. But he wants to preach to those, and those that were young, under the age of 20, with the exception of two men. He wants to preach to them and reiterate the promises that God has given to their fathers. He wants them to understand that he is a God that can be trusted. He's a God that can be relied upon. His promises are yea, yea. His power is able to do what he tells us. And so he wants them to have, he wants them to be able to trust in the Lord. Isaiah defines perfect peace. Perfect peace is he whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee, in the Lord. We need to learn to trust in the Lord to such a degree that we don't fret and fear over every little thing that comes our way. And so here, they're about to enter in, and so Moses is preaching these series of sermons. Now, the word Deuteronomy means, basically, second law. It's not that he's giving them another law. He's basically just reiterating the law that he gave to their fathers. And he wants them to know it, and he wants them to trust God in this. And he wants them to know that God's love is everlasting with the children of Israel. And somebody said, how do you know? Because God's love is so great to us. You see, it's our love for Christ that constrains us to be faithful to God. But God's love for us is eternal, everlasting, never fading. And he always loves us. He desires the best for us. He wants to deliver us from all things, including temptations. And he also wants to develop us. And he develops us many times through trials and troubles that we don't understand, but they help to develop us. And sometimes when people go through things, they give up on God, but they don't understand. God, number one, their sins may put them there, as we preached this morning. Number two, God may be putting them through a trial. And I've always found this. Most people that I see that gives a commitment to God for something, God always puts them through a trial. He tries their faith. The Bible tells us the trying of our faith is as precious gold. It's one of the most valuable things that we have. It's shame. It's a shame if you go all your life and your faith is never tried because you're not willing to ever commit yourself to be faithful to something. His faithfulness, the Bible tells us in Psalms 36, is unlimited. It's unfailing. In Lamentations chapter 3, the Bible says that it's abounding. There's no limit to it. It's new. His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness. It's, as a matter of fact, there's a song pertaining to that. And so this morning, this evening, I want us to look at some things that we can trust God to be faithful in. Look, if you would, and follow with me in the Bible, in John chapter 1, and keep your finger there in Deuteronomy, we'll come back. But notice, if you would, in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. 1 John 1, 9. We kind of quoted this morning, but I want to quote it again. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth's not in us. If we confess our sin, he is what? Faithful and just to what? Our sins, and to cleanse us from all righteousness. The wonderful thing with God is this. Even though we don't understand it, when we're willing to confess our sin and come to God and confess those sins and forsake those sins. As a matter of fact, look if you would in Proverbs chapter number 28. In Proverbs 28. Somebody said, how do I know that God's forgiven me for what I've done? And you know, there's several of us that will do things after we are saved, that will do things. As a matter of fact, that scripture we just read is to the Christian people. There's times when we do things that we'll need to ask God forgiveness about. Sometimes we've come, we've confessed our sins, and we forsook the sins, but we can't forgive ourselves. But we can understand that God is faithful to forgive us. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have what? Shall have mercy. In other words, he reminds us that God is faithful to forgive sins when we confess them. And so what we need to do is we need to learn to trust God and understand. Sometimes what we do is the old devil said, look what you've done. Look where you're at. Why, you'll never be used of God. God can't do nothing with you. Look what you did. You're supposed to be a child of God. And if we will listen to him, he will shame us to such a degree that he'll get us over here in the corner. We lose fellowship with God. And we get over there and we get weak. And why he wants us over there weak and out of the herd is he wants to ravage on us like a roaring lion. He wants to seek those who are weak, those who are sickly. And he catches us and he wants us weakened. And so therefore, if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. And when we come to him, we confess those sins, we have to believe that he is faithful and just, forgives our sins and cleanses of all unrighteousness. Isn't it wonderful to have a God that will put those sins behind him and not bring it up? You know, we think of David. David was a marvelous man. He was a man with outstanding qualities in many ways. But David committed some of the worst sins. And we would look at him and we would see what he did. And just the act of Bathsheba and Uriah and those things created such hardship and even cost a man his life. And you would think that God would be angry with him. But when David come confessing, the wonderful thing about God is you turn over in the New Testament and God reminds us that David was a man after his own heart. He reminds us how much he loved David. He reminds us how much he committed and promised to their father David, and he was going to keep commitments. When Solomon sinned with all his wives and concubines and all those, it was God's commitment to David that allowed Solomon to go ahead and live his life out there. And he took the kingdom from his son and split it up and gave it between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. But it was God's faithfulness. And God's faithfulness where he promised to forgive a sin and not to remember it anymore. You get it on the New Testament and you look at all those in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and all those that God upholds for their faith. Many of those had sins that the Bible records. But the wonderful thing about it is they got right with God and God forgave their sin. Isn't it a wonderful God that is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness? Not only that, but notice if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Somebody said, preacher, that sin, I've got a sin that just I cannot overcome. Not true. Look if you would in verse 13. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common with the man. And God is what? Faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Somebody said, well, I just couldn't help it. Oh, yes, you could. Child of God, God's faithful, but with the temptation also make a what? Way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So God is not only faithful in the fact that he will pardon and forgive you, he's also faithful in the fact that he will protect you, and when temptations come, he will make sure that no temptation, he'll not allow Satan to give you any temptation greater than what you're able to handle. Somebody said, I can't handle. Oh, yeah, you can. But God's got to be your strength. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from thee. And we do that by submitting to God. Look on in your Bibles. In his provision for us, he is faithful. Look back, if you would, to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. In Lamentations chapter 3, notice if you would in verse 22, I referred to this earlier. Said, it is of the Lord's mercies, in verse 22 chapter 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't it good? Why do I have everlasting life? Because God, who cannot lie, has promised me everlasting life. I was listening to this preacher from Philadelphia. He started this movement he calls the Holiest Movement, and he condemns everybody else in the whole world except for him, Pastor Jenkins. And he preaches a salvation that you must be baptized, but also he preaches one that shuns the idea of having eternal life and having eternal security. He just doesn't understand what salvation is about. It's not something that we can do to please God. It's God's faithfulness that we are saved. And God provides that to us. Not only that, but look if you would in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Notice if you would, in verse 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is what? That what? What did he promise us? Look if you would in 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him what? Faithful that it promised. Look if you would back in Titus chapter number 1. This is a verse I was referring to earlier. In Titus chapter 1, you ought to underline this in your Bible.
Paul wrote to Titus in verse number 2. He says this. In hope of eternal life, which God,
that what? cannot lie, promised before the world began. There are several things that God cannot do, and one, he cannot lie. And when he says that those that come unto him, he promises to give them eternal life, he can't lie. Thank God for that. He's faithful. You say, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because God can't lie.
Amen.
How do you know you're saved? Because God can't lie.
Amen.
How do you know? Because I did what God asked me to do.
Right.
In faith, I looked up to him, trusting in him, calling upon the name of his dear son. And through his finished work, I trusted him for my salvation, recognizing and repenting of my sins before a holy, just God. And therefore, I've said this many times. I was in the back pew, sitting on the back seat. When God dealt with my heart and I stepped out of that pew, and I believe from the depths of my heart, the moment that I surrendered to come unto him, I was a saved man walking down that aisle. I didn't need nobody to pray me through. I didn't need nobody to lead me in a prayer. Man, I did everything I needed to do when I surrendered my heart and I called upon the Lord. Lord, save me. And you know what? He saved my soul. How do I know that? He's faithful. I got full confidence in what God has promised me. Well, how about you, Brother Billy? Sometimes I disappoint myself terribly. But you know what? I'm glad that I don't have to rely totally upon me. I'm glad I got his faithfulness. Amen. Not only that, but look, if you would, in your Bibles as well. And notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, I had you there at Titus. I hope you didn't leave there. The Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, in verse 23, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The other thing that guy was teaching, I was listening to him a little bit, as he was putting everybody else down and crucifying all the other preachers, is that he denied the Trinity of man and Trinity of God. He tried to explain that there was only one God and at one time and tried to explain away the Trinity of God. I've heard some people try to teach against the Trinity of man. Folks, you have a spirit, and that spirit is born of God, and that spirit is the only holy place in you. It is a place where the Holy Spirit resides. The Holy Spirit, it witnesses with your spirit. You have flesh, and in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. And in between your flesh, and in between your flesh and your spirit is that seed in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, that seed which cannot sin. Your spirit is that which is holy, born of God. That seed is which is in you. But that flesh is just the opposite. And what happens is your soul that makes up your thoughts, your imaginations, your affections, and all those type of things, memories and all those things, your soul is caught between the two of those. The worst of you and the best of you. And there is a warfare between those to control your soul. The one that controls your soul will control your thoughts. It will control your actions. It will control your affections. It will control everything about you. And so what happens is, when you lose to your spirit, your flesh wins a victory, and the devil wins a victory, and you commit sin. When you yield to the spirit, the devil loses out, and you win, and God wins, because you were faithful to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And anyone who is a child of God is led by the Spirit of God. Now, not only that, look if you would in verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So therefore, he is faithful. When he has called us, he's faithful to keep us and preserve us. As a matter of fact, look if you would in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, notice if you would, in verse number 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, he will keep you. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now what he promises is this. He promises when you are saved, he sets you aside. You are justified the moment you are saved by his blood. He sets you aside and you are sanctified, as Brother Eric was talking about this morning. You have been set apart. You are to be holy as he is holy. And of course, that battle with the spirit and flesh, we talked about just a moment ago, that's a warfare that begins in your life. And it's through your sanctification process of your life. And what we find God is doing, according to Romans chapter number 8, what he's doing is he's trying to make us more like the image of his Son. And he's putting us through things to try to change us. If you're someone that is very angry, he brings things in your life as a Christian to help you combat that anger. If you're one that is very prideful, then he's able to bring things to humble you. And what he does is try to conform us more like the image of his Son. Now, we'll never achieve the perfect image of his Son until we are glorified. But what God promises each of you that are saved is this. One day when it's all done, you will have a body that will never know sin again. You will never know the power of sin. You will never have to experience the penalty of sin. And you will not even be in the presence of sin. Because God will give you a glorified body, one in which can know no sin, one in which can live forever and have eternal life. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know how exactly God's going to do it. I could give you my ideas. But I know the Bible talks about a lot about in heaven, flesh and bone. Not flesh and blood. Life's in the blood down here. And when the blood's gone, life's gone. But we have the Holy Spirit. We will maintain the Holy Spirit until the day of his redemption, until the day we are redeemed. We receive that body. And I'm not so sure that our lives, our bodies, eternal bodies, will flow with the Spirit of God flowing through our veins, where we have the Spirit of God in perfect unity together with God and controlling our every thought, our every action. And our life will be not in the blood, but in the Spirit that God's given us. I don't know that for sure, but I know this. We will have, God has promised us that we will have a body that's without sin, blameless, white, pure. Not only that, but he's also faithful in the fact that he promises that things that he promises he will perform. We saw that through many different saints of God. When he told Sarah she was going to have a baby and she laughed. Now she did wrong laughing, but God still performed it because he done said he's going to do it. And even though she was past the age, I think a lot of you sometimes, those of you don't know, Missy and Tony there, for the longest time, couldn't have children. Every time they would tempt, there would be issues. And we prayed for years that God would open up her womb and let her have healthy babies. And lo and behold, here come Patrick. And she wasn't even supposed to ever, doctors had told her she couldn't have a child and carry a child. But you know what the doctors couldn't do, God could do. Amen. And not only she have Patrick, here come Aaron. And lo and behold, then there's three others that needed a family, and they just adopted them into the family. Amen. Don't ever underestimate the faithfulness of God and what God can do. Last but not least, back if you would in Deuteronomy chapter 7. God is so faithful, that's his nature. His plans has never changed. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm so afraid what's going to happen." Is I'm not afraid at all. He's done made a plan. It's going to happen. I don't know. I know basically what's going to happen. He's done wrote and told us. Study the book. There's some details he's got to fill in for me, but I understand he's got a plan. And there's some things going to have to happen in this old world, society, the world. But then his person would never change. He changes not, he tells us in Malachi. His purpose will never change. Look, if you would, in verse number 10 of chapter 7, Deuteronomy. The Bible says he's faithful in verse number 9, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to them that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. I've got a word for you if you're not saved. You can go to these places that will preach away the idea of hell. But the moment you die in your sins, you open your eyes in hell. God is faithful. And you can go to these places that will preach that God is a God of love. He would never allow anyone to die and go to hell. He cast you there. You can't get there without him putting you there. And what puts you there is your sins. But you can't go from here to there without God. And so therefore, what you need to understand is this. God is faithful to judge the wicked. And those that reject him, he will face to face be faithful in saying, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." And he will cast you into a lake of fire. And if you think he won't, and you can quit preaching hell. I've seen churches completely ask their pastors to quit preaching hell. I've seen people that quit preaching it. I've seen people that denied it. I used to like listening to some things that John Hagee preached till I heard him one time deny that there's going to be a hell. I said, "I'm through with you, buddy." But look here. There is the judgment of God. And he has promised, and just as he is faithful to all these things for us that are saved, he's faithful to keep his word that if you die in your sins, it's appointed man wants to die and after this the judgment. And your sins will cast you into second death. It's eternal death. It's everlasting fire. And just as sure as I'm sitting here, you die without Jesus, that's where you're going. How do I know? Because God, who is faithful, has promised. But listen to this. He has also promised that those that will come unto him, he will in no wise cast out. And so tonight, if you're sitting here and you're not saved and the Spirit of God is dealing your heart, God's not willing to see anyone perish. He wants you to come, repentant as a sinner, calling upon Christ, putting your faith and trust in him, believing in him. Would you do that tonight? My friend, it'd be a terrible thing to die and go to hell. I can't imagine what hell's going to be like. Heaven's beyond imagination, but so is hell. And it doesn't help anyone to quit preaching about it. Because it's just as real as heaven is. The same one told us about heaven, the one told us about hell. And my friend, if you're thinking that God, and you're listening to someone tell you that it's not real, you're devising your own eternal destruction. Tonight, if you hear his voice, you ought to come. The whole purpose that Jesus came was to save you from your sins. Would you stand as we stand? Would you come and let God have his way?
Page 83.
How about tonight? Jesus.